Coming up on today's show,
I just want people to know that they aren't alone. And if they're going through something, I hope that if they find my music, it helps heal them or comfort them in any way, shape, or form.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Cleveland, Ohio, my guest is a singer, songwriter, guitar player who has released two singles so far this year, the latest being in mid-July, 1 week before performing at the famous Whiskey A Go-Go in Hollywood, also performing at the Viper Room and the House of Blues while she was out west. She was also in Nashville in early June, performing in conjunction with CMA Fest. She will be back in both Hollywood and Nashville before this year is over, and she will have one more song release this year in addition to having a music video coming out. Presently, her YouTube channel has a combined total of more than 1.6 million video views, and her top five songs on Spotify alone have a combined total of close to 300,000 streams. You've been hearing a song of hers called Tears Come Fallin' Down. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Alexis Marrero.
Thank you so much for having me, Bruce. How are you doing today?
I'm great. My pleasure. I'm looking forward to this. Thank you for making time.
Absolutely.
Let's get started by having you share with the audience all about the song of yours that was just playing called Tears Come Fallin' Down, which had come out back at the start of February.
Oh, yes. So Tears Come Fallin' Down is a song about a toxic relationship. It's all about wanting somebody that's just not really the best for you, but you can't help but want them. And as the title states, your tears just keep on coming on, falling down. And I think it's one of those songs that has kind of like a little bit of a darker story, but it's a really fun song to sing along to, and it's kind of funny how that worked, but it's one of my favorites for sure.
You know, I'm laughing, but at the same time, I'm thinking of Carrie Underwood, right? Took a Louisville Slugger to both headlights, and people, you know, kind of have fun singing along with a song like that, even though it is rather like, this is not a pleasant message in this song. But I wonder, Alexis, is this song written from firsthand experience? Is it, I observed a friend go through this? And if it's the latter, by the way, does the friend know that this song is based on what they went through? Just tell us about you conceptualizing Tears Come Falling Down.
So the story is actually about a couple of my friends. You know, there's not like a specific friend, but there's a couple of friends that I've seen over the past year or two that have been in toxic relationships. And as a friend, it's sometimes difficult to watch. So I kind of felt inspiration from watching these experiences, and the song was born from there.
Interesting. It's been quite some time since I've asked a guest the following question, and I'm glad because it means that I'm not getting repetitive. But do your friends, Alexis, are they kind of aware that, look, because of me being a songwriter, there's a strong chance that I'm going to observe something in your life and I very may well put it into a song? Do you have that conversation? Is it just implied? Have you ever had a friend say, please don't put anything about my life in any of your original music?
Oh, that's a really great question. I don't even know if I've ever been asked that before. I think
pat self on back.
Yes. So I think, you know, my friends, they know that I am a singer-songwriter, and they know that there's a chance. It's not really a conversation we have. And I think the way that I write too, it doesn't really like make it too obvious about who I'm writing about. So I don't think any of them really mind necessarily, because I'm not really explicitly sharing any details from their lives. And I try to be very cautious about that as a writer. But I think they all kind of expect that because I like to write stories from my life or the people around me's lives. So I think they kind of know that there's a chance, you know, this might become a song.
Okay, so there you go, friends of Alexis Marrero who are listening to this interview. Consider yourselves officially on notice. You probably already knew it, but at least Alexis is protecting the identities to keep it confidential or whatever that expression is that people use. Alexis, let's just do a little bit of background setting. As much as the audience is going to hear that opening song, Tears Come Falling Down, as well as another one of your tracks that we're going to play at the end, and they're going to make up their minds as to what your sound, or dare I even say your genre, is, you actually were not always pop rock. Tell us about your musical evolution and how you got to where you are today in terms of your sound.
Totally. So believe it or not, I started this project about 8 years ago. I wrote a lot of just kind of like straightforward pop, a lot of like sad music, which I still would say I do, but it was very much like Ed Sheeran was a big influence of mine at that time. And I wrote a lot of things kind of like that. And over the years, I kind of experimented with different genres. I put out songs that were like more on the pop EDM side. I experimented with R&B for about a year or two as well, which most people didn't get to hear the songs I did there. But yeah, I kind of explored different sides of music. There's not many sides of it I didn't explore, but about 2 years ago, I really started getting into rock again. I grew up on rock music and pop, of course, but my mom and dad both loved rock. My mom is a huge Bon Jovi fan, so I grew up on all that. And 2 years ago, I really started exploring that side again, and I just love Paramore and Miley Cyrus, started dabbling into pop rock as well. And I was like, oh wow, I'm like, this is actually something that I'd really be interested in exploring. And soon after that, I started kind of switching sides of music and found myself in pop rock, and I've been settling there, and it's probably my favorite kind of music I've ever made. So I really love doing it.
And I'm glad that you walked us through all that, because I think we all have our own definition of pop music. And so when you first said I was doing pop, I was picturing like bubblegum, like Britney Spears kind of pop. And then you did this wonderful job of kind of painting this picture. As soon as you said Ed Sheeran, you can see how, well, that's nothing at all like Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera in their heyday when they were young, etc. So I wonder, you know, is this kind of a peek only into your diverse musical interests, or are you actually showing people, hey, there is a, I don't know if you have a husband, a boyfriend, a significant other that like, no, there is a soft side of Alexis. I might do some kind of rocking stuff, but, you know, I can do some weepy kind of, you know, love songs. Is a songwriter even able to separate the two and say like, oh, I can come up with these song ideas, but gosh, don't think that that's me.
Well, you know, I think it's just kind of like evolving as a person and growing up. Like, I think that like I do have a broad taste in music. I listen to most genres. Nowadays I kind of find myself really listening to rock and pop, but I've listened to all genres in my lifetime. But I think just as I grew older, I kind of explored different sides, and also different producers I worked with kind of specialized in different things, so I kind of had the freedom to explore different sides of music, some that I didn't think I was going to and others I did. But it just kind of, I think, was like me growing up and finding my sound. Yeah. And I think it kind of just, I hit a point where I settled and figured out, okay, this is the kind of music I really do want to be making. And that's what happened when I kind of settled on pop rock. So I think it was more just finding myself as an artist and exploring the different sides of me, because there are different sides of me as a person and as an artist, for sure.
Well, and I admire you for switching till you found the one that you like, that fits you best, because I think some artists put out their first project and say, well, I guess this is kind of who I have to be now. Well, no, you don't. If that's your first one, you are going to evolve personally and musically, and you may stumble across something where you go, wow, my voice sounds great over in this genre, or this just really fits my personality. And nothing says that you can't switch genres. I mean, okay, granted, you're not going to be 15 years into your career and all of a sudden just completely change. Sorry, Billy Joel. Billy Joel, who we all know, like all of a sudden came up with that classical album that time. Like, okay, I know it's piano, yeah. But where'd this come from? But I think you get the point. Just to set music to the side for a moment, though, one sort of biographical note is that despite how busy you clearly are in your music career, talk about graduating college, what school, why the decision to stick with it instead of being tempted away by music, and also the areas of study, which I think will surprise some people.
Yeah, so I'm currently a student at Cleveland State University. It's right in the heart of downtown Cleveland, which I love. I'll be graduating this December. And I study electrical engineering with a minor in math, which I think a lot of people wouldn't expect from me because I am this pop rock singer-songwriter and people expect me to go to school for music. But a big reason I chose that was because we're not guaranteed anything in life. And as much as I believe in myself as an artist, we really don't know what's going to happen. So I wanted to go to school for something different than music. And I'd always been good at science and math growing up. And I started out as computer engineering. I wasn't really into the coding thing. So I switched over to electrical. And yeah, it's a lot of work, but I've grown to really enjoy it. And I kind of get to kind of separate my brain and take a break from music or school when I get to do both of them. So it's nice.
And do I have the two correct subjects? Isn't it math and science that they say that's the same part of the brain that stimulates music?
You know, I'm not so sure, actually.
I think they say math and science people are the ones that tend to be more musical. Someone DM me or email me or something and let me know. Someone look that up for Alexis and I while we continue on the conversation. Maybe you can comment on the social media posts about this interview. Hey, I heard you guys talking about math and science. But you know, Alexis, I do have to ask the question. As you and I record this interview, you have 288,000 followers on Instagram. And I said back in the intro, 1.6 million video views on your YouTube channel. Since it's not a music school that you go to where everybody's walking around and they're all kind of like, yeah, we all do music, so what's the big deal? At Cleveland State University, I don't want to use the term fangirl, but do people kind of like know who you are because of your music? Like, that's the girl that does the music.
So, you know, I think like when I first started freshman year, there were a couple people that knew me, but for the most part, I've kind of stayed incognito at school, actually. When I told people, I didn't really even tell my school, like my department or anything until last year when things started to really pick up for me. And I was like, well, I better bring this to the school because I was traveling a lot and I had to miss certain things. So I kind of brought it to the college. But yeah, most people didn't know that I did music. A couple people found me on Instagram. They're like, oh, what are you doing here? And that's like one of my most asked questions at school. People are like, what are you doing here? I'm like, well, you know, I definitely want to have another plan for my life. So that's kind of why I went to school. But most people, they know me as, you know, the engineering student. So I think that my classmates are all really supportive and they think it's really cool that I do music, but it's not something that they're like, oh my God, you're Alexis Murrow, blah, blah, blah. So, gotcha. You know, I think it's kind of different, but it's also a lot of guys. There's not a lot of girls in engineering. So I think most of them probably wouldn't have seen me before, which is funny, but yeah, it's really cool that they, admire that I get to do that as well and have that other side of me.
What you need to do is mess with them when they say, what are you doing here? You say, how dare you put down Cleveland State University? This is a great school. No. I mean, why are you going to college? Just messing with you.
It's awesome though. I love it. People actually, they don't even recognize me sometimes. So I think it's funny. yeah, definitely.
It's time to look at my tour dates as the 2024 NHTE Tour 10 Years of Talkin' Tunes continues. This is the last episode of the podcast before I head out west. When episode 554 comes out next week, I will already be in California. September 23rd to the 28th, I will be in Los Angeles. The next week, October 1st through the 6th, I will be in the Florida Panhandle at the Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival, including but not limited to putting on a Promoting Your Music Career workshop on Saturday morning, October 5. There is no cost to attend that. It is free and open to the public. Friday night, October 11, I will be at the West Dawson Music Venue in Dawson Springs, Kentucky, for a show featuring three Nashville songwriters. At the beginning of December, I will be in Las Vegas, speaking at the Las Vegas Writers Retreat, which, by the way, is for writers of books, not music. There is also a good chance of one or two other tour dates, cities, being added. Sign up for the newsletter, keep listening to the show, follow on Instagram. I would love to meet you somewhere out on the road. Email me about meeting up or DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Alexis, while it's still close in the rearview mirror, tell us about the five shows you did in Southern California in the latter part of July. I only mentioned three of the venues back at the very start of this episode.
Yeah, so I got to go on tour with a good friend of mine, Seth Bunting, and we toured all across Southern California. So as you mentioned, we did the Viper Room, Whiskey A Go-Go. We did the Foundation Room in the House of Blues, Anaheim. And we also stopped by The Last Call and Doll Hut. So we definitely had quite a busy 10 days out in LA, but we had a blast. It's no small feat to be playing these venues, especially Sunset Strip. I mean, it's a dream for artists to get to go out there and play, especially for me. I love the Whiskey A Go-Go. It's just the history. It's legendary, truly. But yeah, we got to go out there and just show our music, and it's really exciting because I love going out to LA, and playing out there is really exciting because it's a totally different scene than out in Cleveland. So it was really, really fun to get to go do that, and my friend had never performed out there, so it was cool to share that experience with him.
Yeah, audience, while we're talking about notable venues in Southern California, I should mention that Alexis has also performed at the Mint, and that when she was there in July, I'm talking about the Whiskey A Go-Go, that was not her first time having performed there. At the end of this episode, we are going to play your newest song, Alexis. The one that I mentioned back in the intro came out in July. I'll ask you about the song itself later on in our conversation, but for now, talk about the music video coming out for it. Where was it shot? Who you worked with on it? All the details.
So the music video came out yesterday, actually, which is really exciting that I get to be on here today. But we actually shot the music video largely at the Whiskey A Go-Go, which is really, really cool that we're talking about this. But yeah, my friend Adil C, he shot the music video for me, and we shot it at the Whiskey A Go-Go, and we shot a little bit of it at The Last Call, as well as some studio shots. So it'll be a pretty exciting video. It's probably my favorite music video I've ever done, especially being at the Whiskey A Go-Go. You can't get much better than that. So I'm very excited it's out.
But explain to the audience, are you talking about live footage that was captured during your show, or is it, no, we asked the venue for permission to come in during the day and actually stage some shots?
So we shot it during my performance, actually. These are all performance shots, which is really cool. And there's a couple little BTS moments as well. But yeah, we shot it during my performance, and we decided, well, we might as well make it the music video. And yeah, it's really cool.
So I wonder, when you go up on stage for those shows and you know that this is going to be filmed for a music video, is that playing in the back of your head? If so, is it a distraction? Does it excite you? Do you find yourself looking for the camera? Does your friend say, don't look for the camera? Just walk us through the mindset of knowing all that's happening.
I didn't really think about it like that. There was a lot being shot actually at the Whiskey A Go-Go. I was also shooting for a TV show I'm going to be on as well. So there was a lot being shot. So I kind of like wasn't really worried about it. I was more so thinking about, like, as I do every show, just performing, giving it my 150%, and just having fun with it. But I think I kind of like would try to look for the camera here and there, but for the most part, I just performed and kind of let the magic happen on its own without worrying about it. And I think that that tactic kind of worked out in my favor, because it's not really like me. You could tell I'm just enjoying performing and just focusing on the performance rather than the video. And I think it comes out more naturally for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, let's face it, that that kind of becomes, say, a digital business card, so to speak. If someone's watching that video, they go, wow, this girl looks like she really puts on a great show. She looks like she has a lot of fun. So if it looks like you were trying too hard, then it almost looks like, oh, this must have been scripted. This must have been her quote-unquote acting, as opposed to, you know what, I'm going to go out there and perform the way I do on any stage in any city that I step on any night.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, I was also thinking, though, does she go up there and tell the audience, hey, you're going to see a lot of cameras tonight. You know, please, if you don't know me, please subscribe to my YouTube channel. Please watch for this video coming out. And I think that's a no-brainer, because as much as you can convince yourself, ah, who knows who's really going to do that, why not do that ask? And I think the crowd maybe gets more excited that maybe I'll be in it. Or am I totally off base here? And the thinking is, no, you don't tell an audience that, Bruce, because then they are going to be turning and looking for the camera and hamming it up for the camera.
So, you know, I don't think it hurts either way, but I didn't really tell anyone in the crowd that I was doing the video. I just kind of went out there and did it and let the camera, you know, just kind of go where it needed to go. But no, I didn't tell anyone. But on stage, I always have a banner with my name, with my QR code, and I'll always tell the audience, you know, if you want to follow me, if you want to check me out, if you like what you're hearing, feel free to scan that code. So that way it lets them know, like, hey, if you like what you're hearing, it's very easy to find me because it's right in front of your face.
Well, yeah, and let's face it, not everybody's favorite platform is going to be YouTube. So if you're up there and you're only pushing people there, they might say, well, if she was on TikTok, I'd go there. And little do they know you are. So yeah, I think you are better off with that approach. Speaking of being on screen, talk to us about Sangre Negra.
Yes. So I will be a part of season 2 of Sangre Negra. I am extremely excited. I can't say too much, but it's a really great show. I got to start shooting just a little bit while I was out there on tour. So there was some things that I shot during that time period as well, but it's about a Spanish family. There's a lot of mobsters, a lot of fun, but it's a really cool show that I think if you're into kind of things like The Godfather and things like that, you'll really enjoy Sangre Negra, and I'm honored to be a part of it. It's going to be a really cool experience for me. I've never stepped into acting until now. I did community theater when I was a child, but you know, other than that, it's something that is brand new for me, and I'm excited to tackle another side of the entertainment industry for sure.
Sangre Negra can be seen where? And then I got to ask, how did you get this opportunity?
Yeah, so the show is currently on Amazon Prime and Tubi. So if you guys want to check it out, the first 4 episodes of season 1 are out. There'll be 4 more episodes of season 1 coming out as well. But you can check those out on Amazon Prime and Tubi. And yeah, I was very lucky to get the role in the show. I kind of had some people affiliated with the show that are on my team, and I was given an opportunity to come and be a part of the show, since I am Puerto Rican as well. So I got an opportunity to be on the show, and very, very excited to be a part of it. It's a really great opportunity, and you might hear some of my music on the show. So it's very exciting for me.
I'm smiling because I can tell that you're, and we're not seeing each other right now, audience, but I can tell that Alexis is winking at us all right now as she's saying that. And I'm tempted to say, perhaps we will soon be referring to you as singer, songwriter, guitar player, and actress. Alexis Morero.
Yes, very soon.
If you get bit with the acting bug, who knows? We might say calling in from Los Angeles instead of Cleveland.
Yes, you never know.
I'm joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Cleveland by singer, songwriter, guitar player Alexis Morero. Visit her official website at alexis-morero.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. You just heard her talk about the music video for her newest single, Overdrive. The video was released yesterday. When you land on her website, look for the logos at the top to link over and get that song and more from her catalog from Apple Music, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Stick around because we're going to hear from Alexis about shows she has in the coming months in Cleveland, Hollywood, and Nashville. On alexis-morero.com, look for the logos for her various social media channels so you can go and engage with her on the likes of Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and even Snapchat. You heard me say in the intro, 1.6 million combined video views on YouTube, so be sure that you join the masses and hit the subscribe button there. I want to tack on to the mention I did earlier of my tour dates. I said you can email me or DM me on Instagram to get in touch about meeting up while I'm out on the road. We can save a lot of writing messages back and forth by you just calling me through the OWL app to discuss getting together. OWL, like the bird, except with two W's and two L's, is a social networking platform that connects people instantly through private one-on-one audio calls. I haven't mentioned this in a while, but they're not paying me to talk about them. I really like the app, and you hear me on this show telling you about people who have called me through there. Join those folks and do the same thing. Here's how. On my podcast website, nhte.net, tap or click into the news section, and then look for the article in there under the headline, Help Now a Phone App Call Away. The OWL app is free to download, and I have links in that article to get it from the App Store or Google Play. Plus, I have my invitation code in that article because you will need that as you're setting up the app on your phone. It is a required field. I look forward to speaking to you through the OWL app. Alexis, I want to go back to your having been talking about a music video coming out because that's not all that's in the new release pipeline. There will still be another single from you in 2024.
Yeah, so we're talking about trying to release one more song for this year. If we don't, it'll be January of next year. But with that being said, whether I do release a song or not, there will be some things coming from me at the end of the year, maybe a little Christmas song coming. I did do one in the past, so there will definitely be some new material for fans to hear from me, and I'm looking forward to sharing more with them.
But are you in a position where you have a handful of songs already written that it's just a matter of picking one and going into the studio, or is it, oh gosh, Bruce, I've got songs that are already recorded, it would just be picking which one it is?
So I have a couple of songs already recorded, ready to go. And then there is some songs I'm actually in the process of writing and recording a bunch of music right now as well. So it's kind of, if we end up doing one this year, it'll be probably something we already have done, but it might not. You never know. I'm definitely working on a lot of new material right now. So
do you record in Cleveland?
So I've kind of recorded all over the place. Beginning of my career was a lot in LA. The past couple songs I recorded were out in Nashville, and I think I'm going to be doing some recording in Cleveland now because my band is all, I have a very talented band backing me up, and we're talking about recording some stuff on our own. So we'll see what comes of that as well. But I've kind of recorded all over the place. I even recorded in St. Louis one time. So, you know, wow. You just never know.
Wow. Since you mentioned before about finishing up school this semester, has there ever been a time during your college career going to Cleveland State University where your music team has come to you and tried to, in this case, we're talking about the possibility of maybe releasing a single before 2024 is over, and you having to push back and say, look, I just can't devote the time that I need to because of school. How does that discussion go? Because it's great that you're putting your education first, but the folks on your team are there to make sure that your music career is moving ahead. And they obviously feel they have good reasons to say, we really feel strongly you need to put this song out now.
Yeah. So I've definitely had conversations like that where it's like, oh, I can't make it out to Nashville to perform during this time or whatnot. But I think that's like a good reason as to why I went to my college specifically about my music, because now that they know I'm able to have more freedom and do more of my music opportunities. Thankfully, I'm almost done and I'm just finishing up some stuff. So this semester is pretty light for me. But last year was my biggest year in school yet. And there was kind of points where it was difficult on both ends to make it all happen because they're both my priority. And as you said, music, you know, I have a team of people putting in so much work and I'm so incredibly grateful to all of them for that. But then it's like also I can't mess up at school. But yeah, I for the most part, I didn't really let it affect me. I just kind of would take off from school when I needed to. And if I had to miss an opportunity, if it was something I was able to miss music-wise, I would. But thankfully, my college at Cleveland State University has been incredibly kind and supportive of me in my career, and they want to see me succeed and take opportunities for music. So I'm very grateful for that because not everyone gets to have that kind of opportunity, and I'm grateful that they are backing me up there and allowing me to take opportunities if I need to.
Audience, if you've been with me for a long time, thank you so much. Really means the world. It really does. I say that all the time, and I hope you know the sincerity when I say it. It's been a long time since I pulled out this phrase, but it doesn't mean that it's not always in my head as I'm recording an interview. That phrase is, if I have this question, so does somebody in the audience. Alexis, did you at any point consider just taking online classes to avoid this whole, oh, I can't, I got to be in school, I can't go to Nashville, I can't do whatever?
I actually did. There was a time my mom and I did talk about maybe switching me to online in the past like year and a half. But ultimately, we decided that just where I was at in terms of my schooling, it would kind of be harder because certain credits might not transfer over and things like that. So we just decided, let's just stick it out. Let's finish it out. And I'm glad I made that decision ultimately, because as I said, I'm able to pull off both. And I'm fortunate that I have an awesome team for my music that is so supportive of that, and that my college is supportive of me as well.
Yeah, and kudos for making an informed decision and not just a knee-jerk or a, this is what I say and this is what goes, and you never even explore the other way to do it.
Totally.
When I was giving out all your online destinations, I also mentioned that you have got some notable shows in the coming months. Give us the three that I'm referring to, including the significance of the performance that's coming up in December in Nashville.
Yeah, so I have a couple more shows throughout the end of the year. I'm actually hopping on tour with my friend Adil C, who shot my music video. I'm hopping on tour with him for a couple of his shows. So he's going to come out my way to Cleveland, and we're performing in Cleveland on October 11th at the Brothers Lounge. And he'll have some guests like Sage Sam and more. And then he'll be joining me at the Rainbow Bar and Grill, actually, as well, when I make my return to Sunset Strip on November 16th. So I'm super excited to go on tour with him and to get to play Cleveland, as well as going back to West Hollywood and performing in Los Angeles and performing at yet another iconic spot on Sunset Strip. I'm very excited for that. And then, as you said, I have a show coming up on December 7th, and this one's a little bit different, actually. So December 7th is called Rock and Pop Country Bash, and it's going to be out in Nashville at the Texas Troubadour. But this isn't just like any other concert. This is actually a Christmas event that we are doing for children and young adult survivors of human trafficking, and we want to try to give them a really good Christmas this year. So we're doing an event for them out in Nashville, and I'm really excited to be a part of it. There's going to be a lot of incredible talent and special guests, and We're really looking forward to doing some good this Christmas.
And the name of that venue in Nashville, you said, is the Texas Troubadour.
Yes.
Okay. Well, speaking of causes that are near and dear to one's heart, this is interesting. A friend of mine recently had on her Instagram story about Mental Health Awareness Month, and I didn't have the heart to correct her and tell her that it was May and not September. But then I took a step back and I told myself it should not be reserved for just one month. It's something that people battle all year long.
Totally.
And in the lead up to today, Alexis, you told me that you are all about promoting positivity as an artist.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have always been big on positivity, self-love, and also kind of just helping with mental health issues. I've been an ambassador for mental health issues in the past, and I still like to endorse that, as I think that it's something that we all deal with in our own way, no matter the severity of it. But I've always focused on positivity. And I think that as a songwriter, while my songs kind of veer on the darker end, I think that's kind of why I write the way I do. I think that I want people to not feel alone in this world. There's a lot of songs that I write that I write from experiences of mine or my friends, as I was saying earlier. And I just want people to know that they aren't alone. And if they are going through something, I hope that if they find my music, it helps heal them or comfort them in any way, shape, or form, because they could find their own story in my music and find kind of comfort in knowing that they have other people that can relate to them. But yeah, I try to endorse positivity and mental health as much as I can, because I think that they're very important things in today's world, where we live in the social media and tech era, and a lot of people deal with a lot of things.
There's a interesting dynamic that happens when an artist talks the way that you just did, Alexis, and that is, we know that someday you are going to be playing in arenas. That's very clear with the way that your career trajectory is going. But right now, you're playing at venues where it's very approachable, the environment where people come up and talk to you after a show. There's going to be someone who's going to come up to you and they're going to say, you know, your song, insert title here, really touched me because, and they're going to pour out their heart to you. They're going to tell you something really tough that they went through. And as much as you want to be there for that person, A, you just got off stage. B, there's other people waiting to talk to you. And C, you kind of just have limited time where you
Totally.
just can't. And so, how do you walk that line between the person not walking away saying, my gosh, that was rude. I was pouring out her heart and she like cut me off, versus making sure that, yeah, I'm dialed in and I'm available to people who do want to talk to me about their struggles and the way my music is helping them.
Yeah, so if people do approach me after a show, I always try to give them my entire attention when I talk to them, whether it be short or long. It depends on the conversation. But I think when someone's talking about things such as mental health issues, it's important to dial in and take that time, and then just kind of figure out a way to like help them out in that moment and move on to the next person, because there are people waiting to talk to you after shows. But I think that I haven't had that experience yet. I'll have people tell me that it really touched them, but I haven't had people tell me their stories. But I've had that online, so that's a little bit easier to navigate, because you have the time to talk to them. But I think that when that moment comes, when someone's talking to me at a show and is sharing that experience, I would give them as much of my time as I could in the short time I would have with them, and just let them know that they aren't alone. And it's an honor to be able to help someone through something.
And audience, there's some great lessons in what Alexis just said. Number one, if you are a fan going to her or anybody's show and you really feel a strong connection with the artist, you really want to engage them, please be respectful of their time and of other fans. But also, Alexis, I think you just showed us the good that social media can do, because you can really listen 100% attentively to someone and you can say, this really means a lot to me. I want to continue talking to you. Could you make sure that you DM me so that we can keep talking over Instagram? Because I've got some other people that I need to talk to here, unfortunately. And all of a sudden, social media becomes a really valuable tool because you don't have to dismiss that person. And they can DM you and say, hey, I talked to you after your show. And you can write them back and say, absolutely, I totally remember who you are. Thank you for continuing the conversation here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the power of social media. And I've been very fortunate over the years to have such a beautiful fan base that I've had many of them share their stories with me. And it's truly an honor to be able to help people, whether it just be my music helping them or, you know, conversations that we've had. But yeah, I think it's very meaningful to know that, like, I can do good just by writing a song and it, you know, helps someone through something. It's definitely something I don't take lightly as an artist, for sure.
Yeah, that's outstanding. I should have done this early on in our conversation, but let's do a little housekeeping. For starters, I've been referring to you as a singer, songwriter, guitar player because on your TikTok, there are videos where you're playing the guitar. I'm going to hit you with a bunch of questions at once. One is, I also saw a couple where you even play ukulele, question mark. Secondly, when I see all your live performance pictures, though, I don't see you playing a guitar or a uke for that matter. So why is that? And then thirdly, since you seem to have a full band behind you in a lot of your live pictures and videos, tell us who your band members are.
Yeah, totally. So I do dabble in guitar a little bit. I mainly play guitar to write. I can play, you know, certain things. I used to put out more covers of me playing guitar, but I started taking guitar lessons last year. I haven't had much time this year as I've been traveling so much. But yeah, now that I have a band, I don't really necessarily, unless I want to do something on guitar, I have proper guitarists to do that. But yeah, I mean, I love to write music on guitar as well. It's a great instrument to have. And then as for the ukulele, funny that you mentioned that. I actually started out on ukulele. I got one when I was 15. My family went on a trip to Maui and I really wanted one. So my mom bought me one. And, you know, I always knew I wanted to do music, but it just solidified that I wanted to do music. And I started teaching myself how to play. And I did a lot of covers when I got it on ukulele. I know I put out a couple here and there, like last year or the year before as well, but I haven't been playing it as much recently. But yeah, that was the first instrument I learned how to play. And it'll always hold significance for me in that aspect, that like it really launched my passion for music. But yeah, I love that instrument a lot. But I do have a band behind me. I started out with a band last year, and they're an amazing group of guys. There's several people in my band. I have my drummer, Colton Rady. I have my guitarist, Justin Fersler, as well as another guitarist who was with me for a long time, Alex Razzi. And then I have two bassists as well, Sergi Kolomietz and Sam Akpan. And I'm extremely grateful for all of them to have that many people want to be a part of my project and just see things through with me and help me grow as an artist. It's something I don't take lightly, and I'm extremely grateful for each and every one of them for the time that they take out of their own lives to come and chase this dream with me. And I'm very lucky to have them all.
Speaking of looking on your TikTok, I was looking on your Instagram, and oh my gosh, were you on with Mario Lopez?
Yes, actually, last year I did do an interview with him. I'm not exactly sure when it's airing, but I did go on with Mario, and he is so cool. Like, he is such a genuinely kind person, and I'm really lucky that I got to go on the show with him and chat a little bit about my music.
So cool. So cool.
Thank you.
As we head for the home stretch here, we have heard a lot about how much you perform live. As crazy as this sounds, 2025 is kind of right around the corner. And in terms of hitting the stage then, I understand you're hoping to hit various campuses?
Yeah, so we're kind of in talks of maybe going on a college tour next year. I'm kind of trying to work out the details, but I'd love to hit up some colleges near and far. I think that'd be really cool to go and perform for people my age and, Not that I don't, I do, but get to really explore the college circuit and find connections with people like me, students, and get to perform for them. I'd love to do that. So we are talking about doing that and trying to work out the details for that.
Yeah, in other words, you do get opportunities to perform for that crowd now and then, as opposed to this would be a very deliberate attempt to really connect with a number of college campuses and get in front of that audience consistently.
Totally. Yeah, I'd love to get to explore that side. Being a college student, I think, I would love to get to explore that and meet people and just go explore new cities.
I do want to talk about your YouTube channel before we wind things down, just because you have had so much success for it. When it comes to the videos on there, are you extremely involved with the videos? Is it, no, I let the people that do that for a living take over and just tell me when to show up? How does that go in terms of the production of your videos?
So, I think it just depends on the video. For the most part, I kind of let the whatever videographer I'm working with at that time have that control and direct it. But there are times that I have ideas, like in the Overdrive video, I had certain ideas of things we could do. And there's been more videos, but that's just the most recent example of it. But for the most part, I really let the videographer take control and do their thing. But all of them that I've worked with have been really cool. And if I have an idea, they're always open to it. But no, I kind of like to let them because for me, songwriting is my creative outlet. So I kind of like to let videographers do their thing as that's kind of their area of expertise. So.
There's a knock against podcasters. The criticism is that podcasters are constantly checking their stats. I have prided myself on, I actually should check my stats more often because I rarely do. And there have been occasions on this show where I have rattled off statistics and a guest didn't even know them, like me saying that you have 1.6 million combined video views and close to 300,000 streams on Spotify. Do you find yourself saying, yeah, YouTube is real important to me, so I do check those numbers regularly? Or when I read that off, do you say, I didn't even know that? I love that my YouTube channel does well, but I had no idea what my numbers were.
So for the most part, I know like I'm very on top of like checking my Spotify. So if I don't check every day, every couple of days I check. So I kind of that number didn't shock me too much,
Okay.
which I'm very grateful to have that number of streams. But the YouTube one actually shocked me. I knew that I had some successful videos, but 1.6 million views, that's incredible. I'm very excited to hear that. It's a huge accomplishment, and I'm very, very lucky.
Well, and hopefully it'll continue to climb now that the latest addition has been made to the channel. We are going to close today with another original song from Alexis Morero, one called Overdrive. It is the song that you heard her talk about the new music video for. The video was just released yesterday. Alexis, before I let you go and I play that track, share with the audience first all about this song, if you would, please.
Yeah, so Overdrive is probably one of the most fun songs I've ever written and recorded. But my bandmates and I, Colton and Serge, we really wanted to come up with a song to open up our live show. And I'd had an idea of wanting to write a song called Overdrive for over a year now. And once I heard the riff, I knew that was Overdrive. And Overdrive is all about living the fast life. And I kind of depict it in a way of what it's like to be an artist and a band and traveling. And it's just one of those high energy songs that I think that whether you can relate to it or not, it's something that you can enjoy. And just, if you like living life really fast and large, then you found your people. But yeah, it's just one of those songs that's really fun. And I wanted to find a way to open up my live show, and that was Overdrive.
Okay, you've caused me to have two follow-up questions, but I want to do them in this order. We didn't cover, do you write by yourself, or is there a percentage maybe of your songs that most of my songs are co-writes, half of my songs are co-writes, a few of them are, but yeah, I normally write by myself. How do you do your songwriting in terms of solo versus co-writes?
So it just kind of depends. Like when I was younger, it was all co-writing, which I'm very grateful. I got to work with a lot of incredible writers and learn a lot from them. But as I've gotten older, I write virtually all of my own music. My band will be a part of writing, like in the sense of like composition and musicality, but lyrics and melodies are all me. So yeah, I think I thrive more writing by myself just as I've gotten older, but I do still really love co-writing, and having a band helps with that because we kind of can all bounce off of ideas from each other. But yeah, I do a lot of my own writing.
Yeah, because I would love you to hold my hand through overdrive because I take things very literally, and it sounded to me like you said, I wanted to write a song called Overdrive. So in my head, I'm thinking, does she go to her band and say, I have a title and I know I want it to be the first song when we walk on the stage. That's all I got. And then y'all have at it. Or am I misinterpreting that? Like, just walk me through that process.
So, I didn't tell them I wanted to write a song called Overdrive. That was just something that I had in my mind. I did tell them I wanted to come up with something to open the show, and they were in agreement with me. So we wanted to write something to open up the show, but my bassist, who also plays guitar, Serge, he just started playing the opening riff of Overdrive, and I sat there and I heard it, and I was like, I didn't write while they were there, but in that moment, I had a very big feeling that that was going to be Overdrive. And when they left, I started writing it, and Overdrive was born.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, you're going to hear it in just a moment or two, audience. But first, Alexis, thank you so much for making time to be on Now Hear This Entertainment. Congratulations on the new video. Wonderful to meet you. I really appreciate you making time to be on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here, and been awesome chatting with you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. With that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to singer, songwriter, guitar player Alexis Marrero. Do visit her official website at alexis-marrero.com. As I mentioned before, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. You are about to hear the latest single that she released in July. Plus, you've heard her talk about another song that she may put out before the year is over on alexis-marrero.com. Use the links at the top to get all her original music from Apple Music, Spotify, and Amazon Music. October 11, she will be at the Brothers Lounge in Cleveland, Ohio. November 16, she will be at the Rainbow Bar and Grill in West Hollywood, California. And December 7, she will perform at the Rock and Pop Country Bash in Nashville, Tennessee, at the Texas Troubadour. Go to alexis-marrero.com or her socials for details on those and other live shows. Speaking of social media, this morning I followed Alexis on Facebook and Instagram, and I'm sure she would appreciate you doing the same. At the top of her website, you will see links for even more: YouTube, TikTok, and Snapchat. Follow Alexis, engage with her, and for that matter, tell her you heard her and her music. I Now Hear This Entertainment. I do truly hope that you like this show, that you're enjoying what I'm doing every week on the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you've made it all the way to the end, thank you for having stuck with Alexis and I, and I'm going to assume that that means that you do like the podcast. You can take action to let me know that you appreciate the work that I do to keep making this show happen every week, every month, 10 and a half years now without missing once, by going on my podcast website, nhte.net, and then using the yellow Buy Me a Coffee logo that you will see there. This is not a sponsor. It's not affiliated with any brand or chain. It's just a fun way for you to send your support, your thanks to me, including a note that I will see when you utilize that option. You can also just head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. That's going to do it for episode 553. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Alexis Marrero. This is the one she just talked about. It's called Overdrive.